أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل ينظرون إلا أن تأتيهم الملائكة أو يأتي أمر ربك؟ كذلك فعل الذين من قبلهم وما ظلمهم الله ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون. فأصابهم سيئات ما عملوا وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون. وقال الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما عبدنا من دونه من شيء نحن ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من دونه من شيء كذلك فعل الذين من قبلهم فهل على الرسل إلا البلاغ المبين. ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت فمنهم من هدى الله ومنهم من حقت عليه الضلالة فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين. إن تحرص على هداهم فإن الله لا يهدي من يضل وما لهم من ناصرين. The unbelievers wait only for the malaika to come to them or the final command of their Rabb to come to them. So did those who went before them, and Allah Ta'ala wronged them not, but they had wronged their own souls. So the evil results of their doings and their deeds had overtaken them, and the very thing that they had been making a mockery of had surrounded them. The kuffar are bent upon their disbelief, they persist upon the wrong. It would seem and appear as though the malaika must come to them and announce the truth to them, or the final command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must come to them directly, that is of Qiyamah, then will they believe. But all type of signs and tokens will not be of any avail for those people who are bent upon disbelief and wrong, who are proud and arrogant to accept the truth and to acknowledge the right. And the mushriks, the kafirs also say, had it been the will of Allah Ta'ala, we would have not worshipped anyone besides Him, neither us nor our fathers, and we would have not declared anything as haram except which Allah Ta'ala has declared. كَذَلِكَ فَعَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. So did those who went before them, they did the same. And the mission of the Rasuls is only to convey the clear message. These are type of arguments of theirs, that if it had not been the will of Allah Ta'ala, we wouldn't have worshipped anything else. We wouldn't have declared anything as impermissible without His declaration. So this was the behavior and the conduct of the kafirs in the past as well. They very simply misunderstand the very hikmat and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given man a choice to accept the truth or to go on the path of wrong. So this claim of the kuffar, that had it been the will of Allah ta'ala, we wouldn't have stooped so low to kufr and disbelief, and this claim is wrong, because here in this world, if there wasn't this type of choice and option, then it would have really negated the very wisdom of the creation. The very wisdom of creation is that you have a choice, of your own choice, you prefer the right, and you become entitled to the blessings of the hereafter, or of one's own choice, one goes on the wrong path, and then because of his own choice and his own selection, he goes into eternal destruction and ruin. So this is nothing new. The kafirs in the past also behaved in that very way. The Rasul's duty and his mission is only to convey the clear message, nothing beyond this. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. And to every people we had sent a Rasul with the command that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from evil. Then there were those whom Allah Ta'ala had guided. They wanted and preferred guidance, so Allah Ta'ala had guided them. And there were those against whom misguidance had already been endorsed and established. They had preferred misguidance for themselves, so misguidance was endorsed and established against them. So travel the earth and see for yourselves what was the end of those who rejected faith, rejected the truth. If you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are very anxious for their guidance, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't guide those whom He leaves to stray. And they have no one to come to their assistance. And they take the strongest oaths in the name of Allah Ta'ala that, na'uzu billah, Allah Ta'ala will never Allah Ta'ala will never raise those who have died. Allah Ta'ala will never raise the dead. So this is the gist of the oath, that there is no such a thing like getting up after death. We die and that's the end of us. There is no such a thing like life after death. So Allah Ta'ala says, no, this is a binding promise on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is definitely going to be the life after death. But most people do not realize this truth, and the life after death has to take place. لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَلِفُونَ فِي, to make clear to them the very matter that they had differed in, and that the kafirs may know that they were in the wrong, they were lying about no judgment taking place and no life after death taking place, so they may realize that they were on the wrong and they may see for themselves that they were the true liars. إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ, when we wish to do anything, then all we say is be, and it is. It is immediate with our, everything as existence is immediate with our willing, and we just have to will it and it exists. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا, and those who leave their homes for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after suffering oppression and persecution, then in this very life we will grant them a good abode. And the home of the hereafter is far better had they only realized this fact. Those who persevere in patience and put their trust in their Rabb, leaving the home for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called hijrat, is called migration. And this migration has certain conditions for one being eligible for its rewards. Primary condition is that it must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for no material gain. Number two, the one who migrates, he migrates after going through some type of oppression, persecution, at the hands of the opposition, at the hands of the enemies. Number three, he, in his migration, he is patient and he patiently perseveres and he leaves his matter, assigns his matter to Allah Ta'ala. Ala Rabbihim yatawakkalun, they place their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the true migration, that his migration is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after going through some type of persecution and oppression. Number three, he is patient for whatever difficulties he may go through in that initial period of his migration. And number four, he trusts firmly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For such people, Allah ta'ala says that in this very life, we will grant them a good and a wonderful abode. That the place he migrates to after meeting all these conditions, then it will be a good place. Allah ta'ala will grant him a good place to settle. He will grant him a good name. He will grant him good neighbors. He will grant him ample provisions. يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعًا, he will find a lot of expansion. So this is with respect to this life. And apart from all this, a good name and a good progeny that will continue the good name and the good work that he has started off. And the reward of the hereafter is far greater, as the hadith says, الْهِجْرَةُ تَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا, that hijrat destroys and demolishes all the wrongs that one we have done before Hijrat. Then the Hijrat and migration can be of different, can be for different reasons. Sometimes it is to guard yourself against the wrong, and sometimes it is to gain good. So if it is for guarding oneself against the wrong and oneself against harm and danger, then in many situations it can be compulsory and farz, like the time Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba Kiram had migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to take up residence in Medina Munawwara. The reason for their migration and the Hijrat was they were being persecuted. They were not being allowed to perform their obligations freely and openly. So Hijrat from such a land where you cannot perform your obligations freely, openly, becomes compulsory and becomes farz. Similarly is the case in a land, you are living in a land that has been covered with haram. Wherever you go is just haram, indecency and wrong that has covered you. So there is no visible protection and security for yourself and for your children to come. So you may very easily slip into wrong, or your progeny may very easily slip into wrong. To migrate from such a land also becomes compulsory and obligatory. Similarly, to leave the land which is filled and which is overflooding with bidat and wrong, where the great Sahaba-i-Kiram and the great people of the past are being slandered, are being shown scant regard, are being dishonored, then to leave such a land also becomes compulsory and becomes important. For after listening to all this type of slander, this type of vilification, and this type of criticism against these great personalities, then you also become immune. And when you become immune, then after a period of time, you begin to believe the lies, you begin to believe that slander, and then when you believe that slander and that lies, then your faith has left you. So to leave that land where there is a where bidat and wrong and haram is predominant and is overflooding becomes also compulsory and binding. Then to leave a land where for the reason, for one's personal security, security of one's children, security of one's wealth, security of one's belongings, one's life is also important. A Muslim's life, his property, his belongings are all very, very important. When they become difficult to manage in that land, there is no proper facilities for one's protection and security, then to leave that land also becomes important and becomes compulsory. Then to leave a land because of climatic conditions are not agreeable, to leave such a land also is permissible. Like Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded a group of people that had newly accepted Islam, when the climate at Medina Munawwara was not agreeable to them, to leave Medina Munawwara and to live outside Medina Munawwara. So to leave that land when the climatic conditions are not agreeable is also permissible. Then one point should be borne in mind, that when one is caught in a land which is, one is in a land where an epidemic has broken out, then to leave such a land is not permissible. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu had related this hadith to Umar radiallahu anhu when he was approaching Sham and an epidemic had broken out. Amir al-Mu'mineen, I've heard this from Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when an epidemic breaks out in the land, and if you are outside, then don't enter into such a land. And if you are in that land where that epidemic had broken out, then don't leave that land. So these are about the 6 or 7 reasons which will make migration permissible for you. Primarily, those factors and those elements that make it difficult for your staying in a land because of the kufr, because of the disbelief, because of the overwhelming forces of evil, or because of unagreeable climatic conditions. May Allah give us tawfiq.